Guys, Katie, for leading us in that music. I did forget the announcements, but there's really not a whole lot of announcements in the bulletin. There's still Wednesday morning prayer here for ladies, and Thursday evenings there's a Bible study at the Burr's place, and Thursday mornings is men's Bible study at Evie's restaurant. I believe that's it for announcements, unless somebody else has some. Yes. Thank you. This past week, a pastor came to me, and we were talking about church work and different things, and he works in a small community over here, and he was a pastor in a little church, and he left the area and went down south for a little while. And he's just come back recently again, and so he was, as we were talking about his old congregation, he was just saying, well, I'm not going back over there because the organization, the church organization, just didn't want us to come back and fill in as pastor again. And I know that last Sunday, for those of you that were not here, we're studying Ephesians chapter 1, and we've been talking about followers of Jesus Christ. And last Sunday, we really hit on unity of the believers, unity of the church. And why are there so many denominations today? Why does it have to be like that? And so as I was discussing this with this pastor, he said, yeah, this organization doesn't want me to come back and take on the church again, and I want to start a new church. So you have a community that already has about five little churches, and some of the, there might not even be but a handful of people that are attending. And I was thinking, is that right? Why does it have to be like that? Where is the unity of the Church of Jesus Christ? Where are we at? And it's sad to see why that is happening. Why can this community not have one church, be effective, send missionaries out, support these missionaries, and reach their own people with Jesus Christ? Instead, there's so many little congregations that are floundering, and they can't get on top of things. And they're discouraged. And that guy hurt me because he said this to me. And that person wore the wrong dress to church. And that person offended me by not having the right version of the Bible. And all these different things that just get to us and destroy our relationship with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, but mostly with Jesus Christ. There's something wrong there. Something drastically wrong. And as we studied that last week and went through that, it's mind-boggling. It just really is mind-boggling, the way the church is functioning. And I want to read something to you this morning that, from the scriptures, that is just amazing. And it just brought home again some incredible things about the unity of the church. I have a Bible here. It's called The Message. And it's a contemporary Bible that is very, very easy to understand. And so I'm going to be reading. It's going to take a little bit of time here. But I think it is very, very important to know what the Scripture says about our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And this isn't coming from me. or some book. This is coming from the Lord. This is what God says. This is what God's word says. But before I get started with this, I was going to mention one more thing in regards to Benny. He also received, because I told you last week too, these past two Sundays, I've mentioned a few things about some of our students. Remember last week when I told you that this cartel worker came to know the Lord? And Benny was having a Bible study with this guy, and he was growing. Benny got a phone call from this guy's wife last week that he was murdered and his body was mutilated. And when he told me that, it was like, wow, that's amazing. But I was so thankful just the fact that this guy has a new body. He's not dismembered. He's with the Lord Jesus Christ right now. But yeah, sin, there's consequences to sin. There really is. And eventually, it's gonna meet up with the person. It really is. Okay, let's, if you want to follow along, my version is going to be different than yours. In fact, if you want to just listen, I'll be reading from Romans chapter 14. And going into chapter 15 as well. It says, "Welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or do say something that you don't agree with. Even when it seems that they are strong on opinions but weak in the faith department, remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. For instance, a person who has been around for a while might well be convinced that he can eat anything on the table, while another with a different background might assume he should only be a vegetarian and eat accordingly. But since both are guests at Christ's table, wouldn't it be terribly rude if they fell to criticizing what the other ate or didn't eat? God, after all, invited them both to the table. Do you have any business crossing people off the guest list for interfering with God's welcome? If there are corrections to be made or manners to be learned, God can handle that without your help. Or, say, one person thinks that some days should be set aside as holy, and another thinks that each day is pretty much like the other. There are good reasons either way. So each person is free to follow the convictions of conscience. What's important in all this is that you keep a holy day. Keep it for God's sake. If you eat meat, eat it to the glory of God and thank God for prime rib. If you're a vegetarian, eat vegetables to the glory of God and thank God for broccoli. None of us are permitted to insist on our own way in these matters. It's God we are answerable to. All the way from life to death and everything in between, not each other's. That's why Jesus lived and died and then lived again. So that he could be our master across the entire range of life and death and free us from the petty tyrannies of each other. So where does that leave you when you criticize a brother? And where does that leave you when you condescend to a sister? I'd say it leaves you looking pretty silly or worse. Eventually, we're all going to end up kneeling side by side in the place of judgment facing God. Your critical and condescending ways aren't going to improve your position one bit. Read it for yourself in Scripture. As I live to breathe, God says, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will tell the honest truth that I and only I am God. So tend to your knitting. You've got your hands full just taking care of your own life before God. Forget about deciding what's right for each other. Here's what you need to be concerned about, that you don't get in the way of someone else, making life more difficult than it really is. I'm convinced, Jesus convinced me, that everything as it is in itself is holy. We, of course, by the way we treat it or talk about it, can contaminate it. If you confuse others by making a big issue over what you eat or don't eat, you're no longer a companion with them in love, are you? These, remember, are persons whom Christ died. Would you risk sending them to hell over an item in their diet? Don't you dare let a piece of God-blessed food become an occasion for soul poisoning. God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach. For goodness sake, it's what God does with your life as he sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. Your task is a single-mindedly serve Christ. Do that and you'll kill two birds with one stone, pleasing the God above you and proving your worth to the people around you. So let's agree to use all our energy in getting along with each other. Help others with encouraging words. Don't drag them down by finding fault. You're certainly not going to permit an argument over what is served or what is not served at the supper to wreck God's work among you, are you? I said it before and I'll say it again. All food is good, but it can turn bad if you use it badly. If you use it to trip others up and send them sprawling, when you sit down at a meal, your primary concern should be not to feed your own face, but to share the life of Jesus. So be sensitive and courageous to the others who are eating. Don't eat or say or do anything that might interfere with the free exchange of love. Cultivate your own relationship with God, but don't impose it on others. You're fortunate if your behavior and your belief is coherent. But if you're not sure, if you notice that you're acting in ways inconsistent with what you believe, some days trying to impose your opinions on others, or other days just trying to please them, then you know that you're out of line. If the way you live isn't consistent with what you believe, then it's wrong. Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself to avoid people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way Scripture puts it. Even if it was written in Scriptures long ago, you can be sure it's written for us. God wants the combination of his steady, consistent calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. May we be steady and warmly personal. God, develop maturity in you so that you can get along with each other as well as with Jesus gets along with all of us. Then we'll be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives, singing in harmony to a stunning anthem to God, the Father of our Master, Jesus. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it. Now you do it. As I read that this week, boy, that's a message in itself. I could just say, let's go home. It's amazing. Our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and how so many times we hurt one another by what comes out of here. You think of the unity of Christ. When you think about that, we have a marriage relationship with our Father in heaven. A marriage relationship. And how he desires for us, as believers of Jesus Christ, to enjoy that relationship to the max. Okay, we'll go into today's message. If you can go to a tap of water, turn on the tap, have a glass of water, and not get sick from it, we are part of 13% of the world that can do that without getting sick. 900 million people a day cannot drink water from their taps because they'll get sick. If you have a toilet in your house, you are more blessed than 38% of the world's population. If you own a car, even an old jalopy, you are more blessed than 80% of the world drivers that are eligible to drive. If you have electricity in your home, you are more blessed than 25% of the world's population. And in third world countries, it is an estimated 79% of people do not have electricity. Imagine that in today's temperatures, not having air conditioning. 79% of people in third world countries have no electricity. If you had enough to eat today, you are more blessed than 13% of the world's population. Over 925 million people go hungry every day. We can't even begin to fathom that. On Thursday, Susan and Katie and I and Benito, we went to Fatima to help out there at the kitchen in Rafael's church. And there were some 75 kids there. And after they had Bible studies, story times, Susan and Katie and Benito, they were helping in the kitchen there a little bit, handing out food. And these kids just wolfed this food down like vacuum cleaners. I mean, I had never seen anything like it. I mean, they just were seconds and thirds and fourths. They were coming back. And, you know, I've been told that parents give drugs to their kids just to take their hunger away. I mean, we can't even imagine that. And this might have been their only meal for the day that these kids have. I mean, I don't know that. But yeah, we had breakfast this morning and I enjoyed it. And I don't feel hungry. But there's 925 million people today, right now, that are not, they're not going to eat. At the beginning of the 21st century, nearly 1 billion people were unable to read. We just read the Word of God this morning without any problem. We enjoyed it, and God spoke to us. 1 billion people can't read. They can't enjoy what we are enjoying here today. The median wage in the United States, give or take, is about $50,000 a year. That means, more or less, but that won't put you on the Fortune 500 list for sure. But if we receive approximately $50,000 in wages a year, we are in the top 1% of the world. My daughter Katie doesn't get a whole lot of money, but she is in the top 4% of the world. I mean, that is mind-boggling, to say the least. Can we imagine that? Can you imagine how rich we are when it really comes down to it? I had somebody this week tell me, "Howard, I have absolutely nothing left." He had no money, he has no vehicle, he has no house, he has nothing, he has no bank account, he has nothing. He told me that this past week, and it's like, that is pretty amazing. Nothing. He has nothing in this physical world. But he told me, I have everything in Christ Jesus. And when I heard him say that, that makes all the difference in the world. Yeah, we have things here, material things in this world today, that we just need to have. God, with his goodness, has given things to us here on this world, in this earth, to enjoy abundantly. When you begin to even think of, we have taste, we have touch, we have smell, we can see. When you look at, think about that in itself, we are so incredibly blessed just to have that. And that is just a gift that God has given to us. We just happen to have been born in a place where we have so much. And yet there's so many people that don't have what we have. But sometimes I think we need to have our priorities straight. God, you've done so much. And how am I using this? How am I accomplishing what you want in my life for the furtherance of the gospel, per se? What is it that you want to do in my life? Physical blessings, they're all around us, everywhere we look. I even think of these seats that we can sit here so comfortably, and they're not a metal chair, and that we can sit here with air conditioning, and even though it is warm, but it's a lot warmer outside these windows, these doors. It's a blessing that so many times we take for granted. We take for granted. But you know what? When you think of all these physical blessings, they are absolutely nothing, nothing, nothing compared to what God has done for us in the spiritual terms, that He has blessed us with every heavenly blessing that there is in Christ Jesus. And those are the things that we want to focus on this morning. It's not the physical, but the spiritual. Where are we at in our spiritual life with Jesus Christ today, right now? Because that is what counts for eternity. Not what we see, but what we don't see. God has been an incredible, great dispenser to give us material things. There's no doubt about that. But now, we have to focus our eyes on something that is much, much, much better. Much higher. As we look at verse 3 of Ephesians, not sure what page number it is, but it is in the bulletin. 977? Now we need to remember here that Paul is in prison. And I'm sure he's not having a great time. And I wouldn't be either. And you, when you begin to see, looking at verse 3 here, remember as he was writing from verse 1, he was saying, you guys, you faithful followers in Christ Jesus, man, it's good to be writing to you guys from prison. And now, starting verse 3, he begins and says, all praise to God. If we were in prison, would we be praising God? All praise to God, as he starts out. Paul begins by calling out the name of God to be blessed. God wants our hearts to have a heartfelt throb to praise God right off the bat. He desires for us to be praising Him. And I think as Paul was writing this, you wonder where his heart really was. All praise to God in my circumstances. He was just literally adoring God the Father, his Father in heaven. He was just adoring Him. We have a Great Dane, and sometimes Katie's dog, and sometimes that dog just looks at Katie or looks at Susan with those big eyes and just adoring Katie. And Paul here, his eyes are focused on God and just thinking of all the incredible things that he has in Christ Jesus, no matter what the circumstances are. As I think of Benny, as he left here, we put him on the bus yesterday, and not knowing where he was going, what was going to happen on Monday with this meeting, he has no idea. But his eyes were focused on God. God was his number one. And as God has blessed us so incredibly on the physical, He so much more so wants to bless us in the spiritual. He is the total blesser. He takes joy in blessing us. He just loves to do it. But he also wants us to bless him. He created us to have fellowship with him. And he desires for us to have an intimate, intimate relationship with him. That's what he desires from us. And just like the Israelites back in the Old Testament, if you'd go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, God blessed his people, the Jews. If they were going to obey him, he was going to bless them with long life. He was going to protect them from their enemies. He was going to give them big families. He had this plan written out. If you want to read it sometime in Deuteronomy 28, verses 2 through 8. All the blessings, the physical blessings that Jesus, God, did for the Israelites, for the Jews. And now we think of ourselves here as we have all the spiritual blessings that he has given to us to take. I'm not sure how many of you checked on how many blessings that are in the first three chapters of Ephesians. I'm not sure how many of you actually checked on that. But believe it or not, in the first three chapters of Ephesians, there are 54 blessings that God has bestowed on us as his children of God. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And when you begin to think about that, that is an absolute amazing thing. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ and the blessings that we get from that is phenomenal. I'm not sure how many of you get something in the mail or whatever. My emails, a lot of times I get something from something called AARP. And I hate that. But anyways, I get it. It's some kind of... I'm not sure what it is. But it says that you have benefits for being a member of AARP. And so I wrote some of these benefits down here. And it says you get insurance products, you get travel benefits, you get discount health products, financial services, advisory, instant access to benefits, discounts. And you only pay $16 a year to get all these benefits from this AARP. Well, you know what? God has given us an incredible storehouse of benefits for free. Just for free. We don't have to pay 16 bucks for all these benefits. It's absolutely free, and it's just for us as believers to take it. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the day of salvation, we receive all these incredible benefits from God free of charge. He's wanting for us to take them and to use them. That's what he wants. Can you just imagine how excited Paul is here in prison, starting to write about this stuff and thinking about the promises of God and all the things that we have in Christ Jesus because of what he did for us to bless us. I'm going to read some of these benefits that he has here for us. It's amazing. This just comes from three chapters in the book of Ephesians. Abundance. He's given us abundant life. He's given us a body, enlightenment, accepted. We are accepted in Christ. He's given us boldness to share the word of God. He's given us eternal life. He's given us faith to believe in. He's chosen us as children of God. We have access to the throne of grace. We're adopted as children in the body. That means when we're adopted, we have all the benefits of knowing Jesus Christ. We're adopted as his sons and daughters. And things like that should get us excited. We're citizens, not here on this earth, but we're citizens with Jesus Christ in heaven. We're found in favor. We're blameless. We're confident. We are filled with the Spirit of God. We're blessed. We're delivered. We're forgiven. We have freedom in Christ. We have an inheritance. The obedience. We are raised. We have salvation. We're a temple of God. We have understanding. We're sanctified. We're reconciled. We have peace with God. We can enjoy intimacy with God. We can glorify God. We have grace, knowledge, power. We're redeemed. We are sealed in the Spirit. The moment that we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are sealed forever. We can't lose our salvation. We are sealed. Imagine that. I'm going on. We have a heritage, incredible love from God. We can praise God. We can rest in God. We are seated with God in the heavenlies. We are united. We have wisdom. We have strength and revelation. We are predestined. We were predestined. We have mercy. We're holy. We have hope. We have hope. We have a new life. We have purpose in life. We have the riches of life, eternal life. We are workmanship created in Christ Jesus. I mean, we have everything, absolutely everything, at our fingertips, right here, right now. Are we using it? Are we using it? That's what he wants. He wants our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the riches that you have given to me in Christ Jesus. And I don't want to take advantage of what you've done for me. Here's my life. Take it. Use it. For your honor and for your glory. Wow. We have it. So many Christians today, they either don't understand it, or they're just plain lazy, or they have no desire to have a real walk with God. And there's a lot of people out there that aren't walking by faith. They're not using the gifts that God has given for us to take advantage of and to just use and to just live. And that's why so many times there's so many problems in the local body, because we're not taking advantage of what God has given to us. And God's desire is for us to have an intimate, intimate relationship. I mean, that is just the way he wants it. That's the way he wants it. But so many times we're not giving him that relationship because there's so many more things that are more important in our lives than Christ. And so I want to encourage you this morning to enjoy Christ. Enjoy every spiritual blessing that he has given for us to enjoy. It's ours for the taking. We just have to take it. It's ours. It's done. It's done. Thank you.